Amen. Champion of love. Now, I'm not going to call any names, but as Skeeter was singing that song, I was looking around this room, and I see people from all walks of life that once were but now am. I see people in this place tonight that were once the head of the Bandidos. I see somebody in this house tonight that once was running with one of the top 10 most wanted by the FBI for bank robbery. I see people in this house tonight that were call girls. I see people in this house tonight that were drunks. I see people in this house tonight that have whooped just about every bad cat on the Bossier Strip. I see people in this house tonight that have been shot. I see people in this house tonight that have been incarcerated. Sometimes maybe in the local jail, sometimes have spent years in prison. I see people in this house that once were just born in a Christian home and have never done nothing bad in their eyes. And one day they realize that, you know what? I'm just as lost as the biggest heathen that ever lived. And they encountered the love of God themselves. And I want you to know, because of that love that never fails, it don't matter who you are, what you've done, what you hadn't done, where you've been, what you've seen, what you hadn't seen. The champion of love died on that cross. When he was on that cross, you were on his mind. When he was on that cross, he took upon himself the sins of the world. That's your sins, my sins. And I might throw in a stripper or two. A former stripper or two that, hey, look, I ain't calling no names. I just see the people that I know that have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Amen. You know, I look at my own life. Probably one of the biggest racists that ever lived. And I'm so ashamed of it. My own brother didn't want to hang around me because he said I was mean. Can you believe that? We had to cast that lying spirit out of him. He's nuts too. Oh, Lord. God is good. Amen. And he's good because he loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We had a homegoing celebration service here today at 10:30 this morning. Most of you know, some of you possibly don't know by now. But there's a young man, 39 years old, came to Open Range, Blake Murray. Went to sleep Sunday night, never woke up. Went to be with Jesus. We celebrated today here at 10:30. And we could celebrate because he had encountered the love of God and he had tasted and seen. And you talk about a 180 in a man's life. And we got to enjoy and have fun watching Blake grow in God and grow in his love for his fellow man and for his family and for his children and for his friends. And three of his friends today here at his service from the, what do you call that union? Stagehands Union, where they put on the concerts and all that stuff. Three of those employees that worked with him gave their life to Jesus today at his funeral because of the life that he had lived in front of them. And I'm not really going to preach tonight. I just want to talk to you for a minute. By the way, Miss Glenda had her back operated on yesterday and is doing great. She got out today, and we thank you for your prayers and want you to continue to do so, because I'm having to play Nurse Goodbody right now and that's not going real well. I love you too. Let me read my verses first. 1 John chapter 4. verse 7. I hear some of you turning, so I'm going to wait. You can have all them Bibles on them iPhones. I love to hear the pages turn. I love that sword. Go ahead, Howard. Use your phone. That's all right. That was about them sinners. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God was sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, this is mainly addressing in the body of Christ. There's some scriptures that will tie into this that talks about being slow to anger. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control, gentle, kind, all those things. A way to have a little checklist there as to where you grade your own papers to see if those traits are evident in your life. He tells us to be slow to anger. He tells us to not be easily offended. Yet, I find way too common in the body of Christ that we've become so insensitive to the things of God, and we're only sensitive to the things of me, that we find ourselves being very easily offended. And I hate to start listing things. I mean, we don't have the problem here at Open Range, but we're so offended, but as I heard John Hagee say one time, because the pastor didn't mention from the pulpit that I brought colored toothpicks to the church picnic. We're offended because Duke's got it too cold or too hot. Hunter's got the music too loud or not loud enough. Skeeter don't sing the songs I want him to sing. He sings what he wants to sing. And that certainly exists in the body of Christ throughout the world. But I want to talk to you from a different perspective tonight about not being easily offended. The Lord actually began to deal with me a couple of weeks ago about that while I was feeding. And he solidified it in me yesterday at the hospital. You talk about could have got offended, I could have got offended. Here we go. I ain't telling nothing but the truth. That's what the Lord likes. They asked my wife when she was scheduling her surgery, do you want to be the first on the docket? She said, absolutely. Okay, be there at 5:45. So we was there at 5:30. Only to be told about an hour and a half later that there'd been a change. And they was going to get to her about 10:30. Praise God, hallelujah. And as I sit there in this big room, if you've ever been up on the second floor at the Spine Institute, it's a big wide open area with three or four different waiting areas that each will probably seat 30 to 40 people. And I sit there and I watched just about every form of life possible represented come in and out, because we were there a lot longer than most. I saw people come in that had the little gangbanger look. I saw girls come in there wearing their pajamas. I ain't lying. Wearing their pajamas. I saw some businessmen come in there with their coats and ties on. Saw one guy come in with his gang colors and his chains. And I sit there and I watched not only them, but I watched people watch them. And I watched the judgment. And I watched the conversations. And I watched the hard looks. And I thought, you know, that's no different than being in church somewhere. When people walk in with their colors on, or their chains, or their lewd dressing, or their tattoos, and people look them over and grade their paper and judge them. This shouldn't be. You see, let us love one another. When you encounter those situations, you ought to glow, because you ought to say, praise God, what an opportunity for the love of God to be shed forth once again, for somebody's life to be transformed and changed. It's going to be a brief word tonight. You see, when I can look at the unlovable and the undesirable through the eyes of love, and only when I can look at them through the eyes of love, only then can my light shine. And only when my light shines to them that I might have an opportunity to speak a word of love and hope and life into them that will change them. We'd been sitting there since about 5:30 that morning. And Francis, what time was it that woman come over to us? About 2 o'clock? Probably about 2 o'clock that afternoon. And she says, I don't know what y'all talking about over here. She said, but y'all having way too much fun. And I said, well, we talking about everything from Jesus to practical jokes. She looked at me, and I said, I ain't lying. And I said, I stood up, and I said, where are you from? She said, I'm from Alexandria. I said, I rodeoed in Alexandria. Never won no money there, but I rodeoed there. That just wasn't my Coliseum, John. That, you owned it for a long time. I couldn't seem to win nothing there. But anyway, she asked, Francis, are you from here? She says, yeah, I'm from here. This is my pastor. She looked at me like, what? I had on my old blue jeans that I always wear and my old work hat with a sweat ring around it. And she said, pastor? Hard to believe, ain't it? I said, you know, I ain't always been a pastor. I said, let me tell you what happened to me on the morning of November 29th, 1977. And I got to share with her my whole testimony of how God changed my life in my living room that day. Wasn't long I got to pray with a nurse in the back. Wasn't long I got to pray with a couple from Ruston. Wasn't long I got to pray with a man from Florine. You see, when we just love people, love God, just let our light shine. People that are broken and hurting and have needs, and some are lost, and some are don't know where to turn or what to say or what's, they don't know which ends up. They don't know if they're scratching or winding. But you get a chance to say, been there and done that. Got the scars to prove it. And I want to remind you of a couple of things, and I'm going to close, and we're going to be out of here. The Lord has called each and every one of you that know Him as your personal Savior to be a witness. You're not all called to preach. You're not all called to sing. But you're all called to be a servant and a witness. And I promise you, if you'll just serve, you're the greatest. It's not the preacher. It's not the singer. The greatest among you is the servant. Take on the form of a servant just like Jesus did. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And when we'll learn to love people and serve people, we'll go out into the highways and the byways and compel them to come to Christ. Not come to church, come to Christ. When they come to Christ, they'll want to come to church. But the thing is, it don't matter if they ever darken the doors of this place or not. What's important is that you go into a world of darkness and let your light shine and you tell them of the love of God that we've talked about tonight. The forgiveness of God. Don't matter if you were a bandito or a bank robber or a drunk or a fighter or a prostitute or a stripper. It don't matter if you were a racist and you hated everybody, including God. The love of God transcends all of that. His blood covers all of that. Makes us all a new creature. The old man dies and we become a new person in Him. But I want to encourage you tonight, don't grow weary in doing what's right. Some of you have been fighting this spiritual fight so long. Your arms are heavy. Hey, get in the corner in between rounds and get in God's presence. Let Him refresh you. Let Him re-energize you and get back in the fight. Bow your heads. That's a simple word, but it's a word God gave me for you. Love one another. Love the lost. Love the unlovable. The healthy have no need of a physician. It's the broken, the wounded, the lost, the addict. Those that are dying in sin. This place, Open Range, was built for those that nobody wanted. But they need to see you live it. They need to hear you share with them the hope and the love that's in God. Now you can only do that if you're in a right relationship with Him. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've accepted the Lord as your Savior a long time ago, but you've grown cold. You've even possibly allowed some bitterness to come in. And you've just kind of been going through the religious motions, through the machinery. Tonight you want to be re-energized with the spirit of the fire and the power of God so that you can run with passion and strength and energy like you once did. If that's you, let me see your hand real quick. I want to pray with you. Yes, 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 yes. Others quickly. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, up there. Yes, yes, yes. Get it up. It's your moment, your time. You may be teaching a Sunday school. You may be preaching, but you may be doing it off of yesterday's manna. You need some fresh manna. If that's you, get your hand up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Perhaps you're here today and you say, I've never accepted Jesus as my Savior. But I've heard of His love, and tonight I feel Him near. I feel Him tugging at my heart. And I know that this is my time to say, Lord, forgive me. If that's you, can I see your hand? Anyone? Anywhere? Anyone? Yes, thank you. Anyone else? Very quickly. Anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Look up here at me. Praise God. I can't do one thing for any of you that raised your hands other than love you and pray for you. But this much I can tell you. If you'll call unto God tonight with all of your heart and expect Him when you call on Him to respond And you can, because you're about to pray the will of God. And if we ask anything according to His will, we have it. If you'll just call out to Him in sincerity, however you pray, and say, Lord, forgive me. Get back in the fight. Now, for those of you, those three that raised your hands that's never been saved, here's what the Word of God says, in case you don't know. That God sent His only Son, Jesus, to planet Earth, to die a cruel death on Calvary in our place, so that He could give us a gift of life. He sets it out there for whosoever. And He died on Calvary's tree for your sins and my sins. But He doesn't stay dead. 3 days later, He walks out of that grave alive with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And it goes further than that. He's literally coming back to earth one day to get us. Word of God says we believe that in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. We're adopted into the kingdom of God. We become a child of God. We become a joint heir with Jesus. The rest of you repent that once walked with God and have grown cold and bitter. Just talk to God. You already know how to do it. I'm just giving you an opportunity to tonight. But for those three, let's pray, everyone. Would you bow your heads and just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. And I thank You that You've been patient with me. And tonight I know that I need You. I believe You died in my place. Stand ready to give me life and forgiveness. Walked out of that grave to show Your power over death. So now I ask You to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me with Your blood, to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Help me, Jesus, to learn Your voice and to learn Your ways so that I can live a life that brings glory to You and pleasure to me. In Jesus' name. Lord, for those that have grown weary, those that have grown cold, Lord, I pray that once again they would just taste and see the goodness of God. You hadn't gone anywhere, Lord. It's been them. Help them once again to get back to that place that they dare to call upon the name of the Lord, and that You would show them great and mighty things. Lord, burn a fire in the midst of the people of Open Range to love the unlovable, to not judge those who look different, sound different, smell different, act different. But Lord, that we would be sheep that would produce sheep, that we would go out where the lost and the hurting and the undone are. And Lord, that we would be a light that would shine. Lord, that we would genuinely love. God, we would not pass up the opportunities that You set before us to love on people that are broken and hurting. They're all around us. Just help us to be sensitive to the opportunity. Anoint us, God. Empower us beyond our own abilities. Help us to be like Moses as he came down off of the mountain, that people could look at him and tell by his countenance that he'd been in Your presence. Lord, help the lost and broken to be able to tell that there's something different about us. Don't let us look like the world and act like the world, but God, let us be different, pure and holy, full of life, truth and happiness and joy. And help us, Lord, to speak into their lives. We ask You to do what we can't, to save them, to change them, to deliver them, to empower them, to reconcile them to Yourself, to restore their broken homes and relationships, to deliver them from drugs and to set them free from the things that bind them up. And Lord, for the people in our midst tonight that are wearing a mask, they're living a double life. pray, God, that you would help them to be man and woman enough to take that mask off and to come to you and become the real deal. Every head bowed, nobody look around, please. If you're looking around, I'm going to ask the Lord to strike you blind. If that's you, you've been wearing that mask and you've been living a double life, I want to see your hand real quick. Get it up. Get it up. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Quickly. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anyone else? This is you and God. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. All I'm going to say is this. A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of their ways. Tonight, right here, right now, you settle it with God. And you ask Him to help you to overcome that double-mindedness and let you would get all in. Father, I pray for these four that raised their hand. They were honest with themselves. They were honest with you. And I pray tonight, God, that you would miraculously help them become single-minded, single-visioned, of single purpose, of single passion. That, Lord, they won't have to live a double life. Just set them free tonight. Help them. We bind the stronghold that Satan has upon them. In the name of Jesus, that chain would be broken. That weight, that ball and chain would fall off tonight. Set them free, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.